So what a joy it is to be here this weekend and to just spend time together as a sister in Christ. You know, our life can be so busy that oftentimes it's hard to find intentional time to spend together. So I really treasure this moment to just be here and to see everybody's sacrifice to be here and excited to be here. And our retreat theme is never alone. And as we hear that as we grow in the Lord through our sanctification process and our holiness, a desire to fight sin, that is a hindrance to be closer to God, what Wanda talked about, and then Castine say, draw near to God. And I have been particularly studying joy and particularly how the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is a highly sought after emotion which has been widely spoken in the Bible about 200 times at least from the Old and New Testament. But oftentimes it seems so out of reach, right? Life is so hard, difficult. It's so painful at times that make joy seem impossible at times. How can I have this joy, right? We can easily become distracted by the turmoils, the pain of life, the corruption of this world, the trials, our health problems, the busyness of life that we can't even be still to know that He is God, leaving us unsure, how can I feel happy or how can it be possible for me to experience this joy? Perhaps you're here today feeling anxious, uncertain of God's will in your life or in the midst of making big decisions. Or you're feeling lonely, struggling with difficult friendship, feeling disconnected or not unified with your spouse or your friend. Overwhelmed by the troubles of your life, perhaps with rebellious children, no job, or uncertainty of the future. Like, what's going to happen to me? What does my future look like? Or just simply depressed. You just have this yucky feeling that can't get rid of. Constant physical pain or whatever. Discouraged, battling with what if or if only. You know, those are evil thoughts or destructive thoughts. Or laughing on the outside, but truly crying on the inside. Whatever might be robbing your joy of the Lord, it is my prayer that together we will grow in Christ, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, experience the joy of the Lord as we look briefly on this topic of joy that is very rich all over the scripture. Though everything that I'm about to share may not be new, may they serve as reminders, help us to remember and encourage us and bring us closer to God, to Jesus. May this whet your appetite to go and study more on this topic, right? And cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to focus, it's going to be a lot of different verses, but what got me to desire to study joy a little more was this summer when we were like reading about Nehemiah's prayer and then David's prayer in Psalm 51. And I was like, wow, what gives me joy? And what is robbing us of this joy? What lies am I believing that take my eyes off of Christ? If God truly loved me, my life wouldn't be so hard. Those are lies, right? Or the fear of missing out. Or what if and if only. These are lies that we can potentially distract us from the nearness of God, which will rob us of the joy. So my question is, like, is it possible to remain joyful all the time like the Bible has commanded us? So I'm going to read Nehemiah now. Nehemiah 8, 9 through 12. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portion to anyone who has nothing. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levite calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not grieve." And all the people went their way, eat and drink, and send portion to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the word that was declared to them. And then I'm just going to go ahead and read Nehemiah 12, 43. We will reference back this in a little bit. "And they offer great sacrifices that day and rejoice, for God made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away." So the context of Nehemiah means comfort, which is really fitting for his name, because he was a cupbearer during the kingdoms of Persia, and he was the one that led the third group of Jews, the remnant of Judah, to return back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. Nehemiah encouraged the people to rebuild the wall, and he was grieved when he heard the report that his countrymen, the Jews that came back to Jerusalem, were not doing well and that the wall was not being restored. And more importantly, spiritually, they're not being restored either. And together, Nehemiah and Ezra helped the Jews who returned to return to God spiritually. So not only does he help them rebuild the wall, but to help them rebuild, they understand who God is, who is their Yahweh, right? And through that, they read the law, and that's convict their heart. And I love it that when we go back to here, to our translation, ESV say, be quiet. But I love the NIV because it say, be still on verse 11 of Nehemiah 8:11. Be quiet, for this day is holy. Be still. And I love that because I often love it to remind myself, be still and know that he's God. Because we have people who do, but we need to just be still and know that he is God. Because to truly know God, then we can truly know what joy is. So what is the joy of the Lord? What is the true biblical joy? So I went to Webster Dictionary, so you have the definition there. Joy, a feeling of great happiness or pleasure, delight. And I put a testify on that one, a source or cause of joy. And I like that definition a lot. And we'll come back to why. And then in Strong, we see joy as being translated as gladness, delight, and the verb is to rejoice, right? And John MacArthur, I really like this one. True joy is an unwavering constant in a spirit-filled life. It is not produced by a bed of roses experience of tranquility and peace and comfort and safety. It is produced by the presence of God and his Holy Spirit. Even if you are sitting in the prison waiting for possible news about your execution, as Paul was, he had joy. He had joy, the result of his eternal relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within him. And because he was so near to God, he was full of joy. So as we see, circumstances aren't a factor. It is your nearness to God that determines the level of joy. So sisters, as we see, our pursuit of holiness, personal holiness, draws us closer to God. And our pursuit of being drawn closer to God will help us to understand his joy better. So oftentimes I grow up in a Christian circle, we often say like happiness versus joy. And oftentimes we think of like happiness as like a temporal, external, and based on circumstances. Well, that is true. As I study this word, a little short study, so can't quote me on that. But I see that that's not much different in the Bible. It's actually intertwined. And happiness can also be translated as blessed. And as we see in the Beatitude, is often blessed. So how I want to differentiate this is more like spiritual, Christ-centered joy and happiness versus worldly, fleshly joy and happiness, right? There's a common grace that God gives us. You can have the joy of simply having a humor happiness, intellectual happiness, or you can have a physical happiness or a career happiness, right? Those are common grace. God gives us grace in that. But the one that will enhance all of that is the spiritual joy that is rooted in Christ, that is a gift. So point B is the joy of the Lord is a gift given by God to believer at salvation, driven by the Spirit. So if you are a believer, you don't have to search for joy or conjure up this joy as a, like emotion, right? It has been given to you. You have been redeemed and it's given to you. Now, if you hear and you're not a believer and you never profess to believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, it is our prayer that today will be the day of your salvation. So you too can enjoy this spiritual joy, the joy of your salvation. That's the first joy that you get to experience and the everlasting joy. So if you have any question or any doubt about your own salvation, please talk to one of us because that's more important than anything else in this world. Psalm 4:7, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Isn't that amazing? God is the one that gives us that joy. He put it there for us. Galatians 5:22. Now, don't go to 21. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. I wrote it wrong, so please fix it. You go there to see the contrast of what is not the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have been crucified the flesh, which is passion of the desire. So as you see, if you put your faith in the Lord, you automatically have the fruit of the Spirit. It's a matter of exercising it and making it visible. So you have been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. You are able to exercise this fruit of the Spirit. It's given to you. You don't have, it's not an emotion that you now have to conjure up, right? It's this, he gave it to you. And oftentimes we don't remember it, but if we reflect on the joy of our salvation, then you will see that emotion that God has given you, everlasting. And that's what David was praying when he was confessing his sin with Bathsheba to the Lord. And he could have said everything else. But the one that struck me the most was in Psalm 51, 12. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Restore to me that joy of my salvation. You know, he knew that if he just remember, he fixed his eyes on God, that he had that joy, then he would need no other joy elsewhere. His eyes was not on the Lord, and therefore his flesh took over, and he desired someone else's wife. So, sister, you can just reflect and meditate on that joy of your salvation so you don't have the primer. Anyway, you must read that one. That is like to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Just do a little portion. I promise you that you will have the joy of your salvation. I remember like when, if you just reflect on how God saved you, the miraculous salvation in your own life, that would just bring joy. So constantly remind yourself how you saved, the joy you have with your salvation. And Romans 15, 23 say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. He doesn't say just a little joy, he says all joy, you know? And that's amazing, right? The joy of the Lord is ultimately in God himself. Joy is not just an emotion. It actually is a person, and that person is God. Just like hope is not a thing. It's a person. You know, it's God himself is hope. Peace is the same thing. It's God of peace, right? And in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. Isn't that amazing? God is ultimately joy. He is the source, and he is the object. So again, joy is not just an emotional experience found in religion, but it's found in the person, and that person is God, our Father, who we can call Abba, that intimacy, right? That relationship. We're no longer his enemy. He's considered his friend, and he is our Jesus Christ, our helper, our refuge. He's our everything. Psalm 16, 11 said, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy, and at your right hands are pleasure forever. Fullness of joy and pleasure. God is a good God. He delights when we are happy. He wants us to be reconciled. He wants us to be restored. And he's a good father who desires to give us good gifts. He wants us, you know, in Matthew 7, 11, he said, if you then, who are evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He is ready to give us that joy. Then the first joy again is salvation, right? We can't enjoy any of this joy unless we have that joy of salvation. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Inexpressible joy, right? That is amazing. We can rejoice in that. He is worthy to be rejoiced. He is joy, right? And see, how can I have or cultivate this true, everlasting spiritual joy? First of all, you have to repent and obey. Nehemiah 8, 9 say, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, right? The Jews returned from the exile. They have nothing left and spiritually dead. They were, as they were reading the law, it convicted their hearts. So they were grieving, reminded, And then Nehemiah and Ezra were reminded of God's faithfulness, so they cried. Right? Sin separates us from God and hinder the joy of God. However, after repentance, that guilt that we can cast to the Lord, your joy is restored. You don't have to live in that guilt. Nehemiah remind them of the joy of the Lord. You know, they have God. And Nehemiah and Ezra show them the faithfulness of Yahweh to them. You know, God is faithful to you, faithful to us. Most of them don't even read Hebrews anymore, so they have to hear it. And that's why they gather and he read it to them. So we too can continue to confess our sin, because that hinder our relationship with God, hinder that joy of the Lord, right? So 1 John 1:9 say, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to give us grace upon grace. So come to him for forgiveness and be free from all this condemnation. For in Christ, there's no condemnation. The wrath of the Father has been satisfied through the sacrifice of the Son. We are freed and can enjoy this joy. And again, I really love Psalm 51:12, as you can see. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Because I was just really impressed that when David think about what he can pray, he said, restore that joy. If I really have the joy of the Lord, I desire nothing else on this earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's a command, right? It's amazing that he commanded us. And then again in Philippians, and the whole book of Philippians is all about joy. So you can go back there and read all about it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And if it's a command, we have to obey it. And if it's a command, God will give us the power to do it. He is our helper. The Spirit dwells in us. We no longer have to, fear, because we have the Spirit, right? Though we're going to battle with our flesh still because we're on the side of eternity, we know we're able. And Carl's been going through that, right? The battle of the flesh. But we are able because of the Spirit. So as we are commanded to rejoice, do it. Know the Lord is doing his work through our circumstances and will bring us to glory with him. We are secure in him, and in his promises we can trust him. James 1:2-4, count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Despite trial circumstances, trials the heart will bring great joy as well. In this world, we will have troubles, right? But God has overcome it. Count it all joy. God is working in our lives through this trial. You know, we can be complaining. Complaining is a hindrance to joy. Instead, just cast it to the Lord. You know, as we think of it, just cast it. It's not our burden. God desire to help us. Romans 5:3-5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts and through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So let us rejoice in our suffering. It sounds so counterintuitive, but it is, as we see his faithfulness in all the trials, we can have confidence that he worked together all things for good to those who love him and for his glory. We're not here. He's not here to satisfy our kingdom. He's here to fulfill his kingdom. We are called to worship him and give him praise and glory. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We can be sad. Let's be real, right? We all have, it's not an emotion. We are called to be real. We are whip with those who whip, rejoice with those who rejoice. God is not going saying, put this fake, bubbly, joyful face on. But it's this internal feeling that God, you're in control. I can have full confidence in you, and I surrender all of my wants because I know I lack nothing in you, right? That's, we can find confidence in him. So when trials come, we know we're anchored in him, and he is the source of that joy. Hebrews 12, 2, look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that has set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne. Even Jesus have to look past the cross for that joy of glory, right? We too can look for future glory with Christ. In 1 Peter 1, 3 to 6, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's powers are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. There you go again, right? In this life, there will be trials, but God has a purpose for each of the trials. And he wants you to come to him. Come to him, all who are weary. Come to him. He's a good father ready to bless us as we cast our burden to him. Mm-hmm. Our inheritance and future hope of glory. Fix our eyes on that. You know, this world, all is vanity apart from God. All will burn away apart from God. But our inheritance in heaven is secure through Christ. Again, right, he is our source of joy. Will heaven be the same if Jesus is not there? And if our answer say yes, then maybe we truly have not known him. And we need to be repentant of that and come to him. Psalm 30:11, you turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy. God is able to do that. When we cast him, like, he wants us to be joyful, right? Philippians 4:11-12, and Carl preached on that, right? The secret of being content, that joy, that inner peace, that Paul know what it is when we are truly content in the Lord. And how do we do this? By abiding in God, draw near to God, walk with him. You know, John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Where is our eyes focused on? Where do we find joy? If we're not abiding in him and walking with him, then our joy is circumstantial. We will fluctuate with the waves. But if it's anchored in the Lord and we draw near to him, then nothing can shake that joy away because he is our source of joy and he is unchanging. And that's a blessing because we are forever changing, right? Fluctuate with our emotion. Even our love for our husband can be really high one day, low, and we all can feel it. But God's love for us is constant and is unconditional, is amazing, right? Cling to that. And how do we do this? Read and rejoice in the word. Ezra was reading and the people were delighted in the word, right? He read the word to them. He read them the book of the law, and the Jews brought them conviction and reminded them of God's grace and faithfulness to them. So read God's word. It's the living word of God. You know, it's meant to help us to get to know him more. Psalms 119:162, rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. And the word spoil is treasure. God is, his word is like a treasure to our heart. It keeps us focused on him and reminded of him, right? And of course, pray. Castine say, pray, pray, pray. That's our greatest access to the Father, is to commune with him, to have fellowship with him in prayer, to talk to him, you know? And the first prayer, hopefully, is your prayers of salvation. But then you can just pray as you confess your sin to him, because that hinders your joy. Meditate and set your mind on things above. Colossians 3:1-3, right? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set our mind on things above, on eternal things, things that matter. And I love that reminder because sometimes we just need to be still to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's like preaching to myself because I can find myself being busy. And then I realize, Matt always say, be still, Kylie. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good reminder. It's like, there are good service, but be still, Kylie. And for us too, as women, we can be distracted by many things, good thing, but be still, have that still moment so that you have that communication with the Lord as you meditate on His word, as you pray that the Lord will set your mind on things above to guard that mind, because otherwise, if you don't read and meditate, then lies will come, right? Your thoughts, you don't stop thinking. So if you don't feed yourself with the truth, if you don't meditate on the truth and set your eyes, then Satan is going to feed you and with lies. And then it's going to hinder your relationship with God and rob you of the joy of the Lord. Trust in the Lord. His will be done. Right? Everything will work together for good to those who love Him and for His glory. Right? Remember, He loves you, but ultimately everything happened for His glory, and you get to be part of His glory. Rejoice in that. Because He's perfect and holy, His glory is amazing, incomprehensible. So rejoice in that. Trust Him in that, right? When you go through trial, say, why? Lord, it's for Your glory and for my good somehow. And let that truth set in. Find a verse to meditate on, right? That help you when you have that spiral kitchen syndrome. Matt and I call it kitchen syndrome. We're going down roll and just, you know what? I'm going to toss it in the cow patty. They're lies. We call them cow patties. Toss it there. And then fix our eyes on the Lord again. So find what worked for you. We do. We do in our family. Matt and I say cow patties. Kylie, let's not talk about that one. It goes nowhere. And then kitchen syndrome is like when we bring other things back. Uh-oh. Nope. We already done that, so we're not going to do the kissing syndrome. And that how you, otherwise your thoughts will be distracted and it will spiral in your own little thought, in your own little brain. And before you know it, you're going to gravitate towards lies versus truth. So fix your eyes on the Lord. Pray, abide in Him. And then this one is so important. And we're here today for this reason. Fellowship with one another. Serve one another. Accountability and protection from isolation and discouragement. Sharing that joy will increase your joy because you can continue to proclaim the gospel. And we see this in Nehemiah, right? As he read and he commanded them, go and eat and then share the portion. Well, that's what exactly what they were doing. Just like us, we hear the gospel, we taste and see that Jesus is good. Are we sharing that joy? In fact, they went and obeyed that. And that in Nehemiah 12:43, we see that God, again, God made them rejoice. It's God who made it. And God who made you will make you rejoice. And then they say, women and children also rejoice. So they go and share to everybody. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar, like from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was just so amazing because they obeyed, you know. So this day, today is the day that we hear too, right? That when you maybe feel convicted about your sin, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Rejoice that God has already forgiven you. And then go and share that joy with someone else. Because that's how you proclaim Him, magnify His name. You give all the glory and honor back to God. And when you do that, you get to share that joy with other people, right? We all see our weaknesses. But when we say, like, we acknowledge it and we share it and be convicted by it, it really restores our joy to the Lord because we give the glory to God. 1 John 1:3-4. That which had been seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Not only do we have the fellowship with one another, with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but we have fellowship with one another as well. And as we share in that fellowship, it will keep us stronger in Christ and be reminded of Christ. Because we're forgetful people. We need to be together to be reminded of that and share in that joy. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that the Lord is over your fate, but we work with you for your joy, for we stand firm in your fate. Right? Here is Paul comforting the Corinthians, and we too can find comfort in that We have this joy together. We share this joy. Stand firm in your faith, right? Fix your eyes on the Lord. So in conclusion, so what does this look like? The joy of the Lord is our strength. How is the joy of the Lord our strength? Strength is interesting because I look it up and I was like, huh, I never thought it was translated as stronghold, fortress, refuge, protection, a place in time of trouble, a safe place in time of trouble. And I really like the imagery of stronghold and fortress and protection. And so you can even say, the joy of the Lord is our stronghold. The joy of the Lord is our fortress. The joy of the Lord is our refuge. How beautiful is that? He protects us, and that's how we get the joy. And from that, that's how Nehemiah, you know, charged them. You know, do you forget God's faithfulness? Find joy and strength in the Lord. And now go and do his work. Stop grieving. You fix your eyes on God. Basically, that's what Nehemiah comforted. His name means comfort. The Jews that are the remnant of Judah when they were back in Jerusalem rebuilding the wall. God is indeed all of this, right? He is our stronghold, he's our fortress, he's our refuge, he's our protector. He is indeed the safe place in time of trouble. Cast our trouble there. He cares for us. And we are his child, right? He's our father. We get to enjoy all of him. And these are just some of his attributes. We get to be secure in all of his promises and inherit his inheritance. Why would we seek joy elsewhere when we have all of this from God, right? He made everything and he promised us of all his inheritance. We got to inherit that. Why look at the cow patties when we can look at it with him, right? If we abide in the Lord and he's in us, then we will always be able to be joyful despite any trials or circumstances. For our true source of joy is the Lord. Yeah, we will be sad, we will be hurt, we will be discouraged, but it won't last because our heart will focus back on the Lord. And we know that our joy is found in him and it makes everything else not comparable. Our security and nearness in Christ deepen our joy, thus giving us strength to overcome temptation or any pleasure of this world. Because having Christ as our Lord and Savior is better than anything this world can offer. You can rest in the security of his work, that he worked all things together for his glory and for our good until we are glorified in him. Because the source of joy and strength is from God. We will never fall short. Our joy and strength will never run out because Christ is a fountain of the living water and in him we will never thirst. We are completely satisfied and content in him. Thus, the joy of the Lord will always give us strength to press on in all courses of life and guard us from despair, doubt, sin, and the evilness of this world. We can rest in Christ and enjoy all that he blessed us, love, peace, contentment, and joy in him. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in him, we can do all things according to his will. And earlier, we looked at the psalm, right? Whom have I in heaven but you, right? Nothing on this earth is comparable to anything that God has to offer. So come to him. Bask yourself in his joy, right? So sisters, our nearness of God will determine our level of joy, right? Our nearness of God will determine our level of joy. Ask yourself, how is your walk with God? Are you drawing near to him? Is his word your daily bread? Where are you finding your joy? Are you finding it in your career, in your family, in your spouse, in your work, whatever? You know, those are common grace and God doesn't want you to not have joy in those, but where's your source of joy? Are you delight in the Lord? Is your source of joy God? May your joy grow as we abide in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy it is, Lord, that we can come here this weekend, Lord, to just be still and know that you are our God who deserves to be worshipped. And Father, as we look through the personal holiness, as we look on how you are near, you are with us, and how our nearness with you will bring us great joy, help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, to meditate on your truth, to abide in you. Father, you are the source of joy and the object of joy. May the joy of the Lord be our strength, Father, and may the source of the joy come from you, and help us, Lord, to continue to fix our eyes on you so that our joy may be abound. For you have desire to give us this joy lavishly. So help us, Lord, to not be distracted by the things of this world, but to truly cling on to you so that we can have the fullness of joy. And Father, I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us and help us to rely on you. May the joy of the Lord truly be our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.